right. Well, what's up, everybody? What's up? Good to see you guys. Good to be at the South Campus. Let's say hello to our North location, all of our family over there, and all of our family joining us online, wherever you are watching or joining from. Come on, South Campus. Let's tell them how much we love them. We love you so much. I can tell you by their energy, they love you a lot. And I expect that same energy today, South. No, keep that same energy. No, I'm just playing. I'm not playing. Keep it. Okay, but it's good to be with you guys. And we've had a great weekend so far here at New Covenant. We had our Freedom Conference at our North location. If you got to be a part of that, you know how powerful that was. This was our third Freedom Conference. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to make plans to attend next year. We do cap it at a level because we want to be able to pray for everybody. And it's a powerful event that is a follow-up to our Freedom Groups. And so later this year, you'll have an opportunity to go through some of those. But I just want to honor everybody who took part in that, from speaking to serving, from worship and tech arts and greeting, all kinds of things. Can we just honor them and give them a round of applause? It's a lot of work that goes into it. And so great job, everybody. We're going to continue in our series today. This is week three of a series that we've been in called Walk This Way. And it is a series on walking with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, this could be one of the most important series that you ever listen to in your life, because the Holy Spirit is a game changer for your life. And if you have missed any of these, I want to encourage you to go back and listen or rewatch them, because we're really laying some foundations for you. We talked in week one about how the Holy Spirit is not some ghost, as some translators have made him to be. He's not some weird force that's out there, but he is the very breath and the very wind of God, who Jesus said, it's better that I go so he can come and be with you here on this earth. So we talked about that in week one, and you need the Holy Spirit. And then last week was, I think, a very important week for so many people, where we talked about the three baptisms, and one of them in particular being the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And at both of our locations, we had a lot of people come and get prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've heard just incredible testimonies and stories on that. And so I want to encourage you again, if you missed that, go and listen. But today, I want to talk to you about the flesh and the spirit and the war that is going on within, between your flesh and your spirit. You probably experienced this to some level, these two desires fighting against each other. The scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say, walk by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. What you see in Scripture is that the desires of your flesh, the sinful desires of your flesh, are diametrically opposed to the desires of the Spirit of God, and they will never lead you in the same direction. They are always working against each other. You can bank that if you follow your flesh, you're not just going to wake up one day in the Spirit. If you continue to give into the desires of the flesh, you're not just going to wake up one day and be like, I'm so spiritual today. I just feel so filled with the Holy Spirit today. Not going to happen. But conversely, you can also bank on the fact that if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you won't wake up one day and just be like, how did I get so entrenched in all of this sin and all of this flesh? How did I get so buried deep in this? You won't, because you're following the leading of the Spirit, and they'll never lead you in the same direction. They're always working against each other. But when I talk to people, one of the greatest challenges I think people face is learning to walk by the Spirit and not gratifying the desires of their flesh, because they feel that there's this internal war, like a tug of war back and forth. And some people don't know how to describe what that is. Certainly people who are not of God don't know how to describe how that is. And so you see in movies and cartoons, you may have seen like this little red devil on one shoulder and this little angel on the other shoulder. You know what I'm talking about? And everywhere they go, they're both speaking to the person. And it bothers me because they always make the devil like tough and cool. He's like, hey, man, you know you need to do this. And he's like real cool. And then the angel's like, hey, you probably shouldn't do that. And, you know, like real weak. Oh, don't say that, you know. And then the devil's like, shut up, you know. And it's like so stupid, okay. It's not how it is. That's not reality. But that's how they think it is. But have you ever felt that way? Like there's these two voices speaking and there's this tug of war going on inside of you. And that's what Paul is trying to talk about here. But I want you to see something really important in that verse earlier. He said, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to those who have given their life to Jesus, and he's encouraging them to be walking by the Spirit. And he's saying, once the Spirit of God lives inside of you, your desires change. And the flesh is trying to keep you from doing what your spirit really wants you to do, and that's the desires of the Spirit. What I found is when I follow Jesus, my desires change. I no longer desire the things of the world anymore. That doesn't mean I'm never tempted by them. I just don't crave those things. I desire the things of God. People always go, when you get saved, why do you want to do those things? Because he changes your desires. That's the transformation that happens within you. And you can read about this challenge, though, in the scripture of this tug of war in Romans chapter 7. I'm not going to read it to you today, but Paul is writing in Romans 7, and he's saying, listen, I get frustrated when I find myself doing the things I don't desire to do. Why do I do these things I don't desire to do? Right? And some of you understand that, where my head is saying one thing, but my body's saying another thing, right? Like, my head is saying you should get up and work out. But my body is saying, why don't you watch someone work out and eat some Cheetos on the couch, right? That's my way of partially working out. And I'm like, yeah, I should do that tomorrow. You know, like, some of you are like, you were in my living room too? No. But Paul's talking about something more serious than just desiring to work out. He's talking about this desire of the flesh for sinful things. And he's saying, I don't desire to do those things, but I'm frustrated that I keep finding myself in that place. And I just want to speak to somebody today that if you find yourself in the place where you are not desiring to do something, but you feel trapped in it and you find yourself continuing to do it, there is hope for you today. And what Paul ends Romans 7 saying is what should I do? Who's going to save me from this wretched body? And then he says, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what can happen. And he goes right into chapter 8 talking about following the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want you to see about the Holy Spirit today is first that the Holy Spirit gives us the desire to overcome sin and the power to overcome sin. He gives you the desire, and the fact that you have the desire is a good thing. If you desire to do good and you desire to overcome sin, it shows you're in him. Amen. If you don't have that desire, today you can give your life to Jesus, and those desires can begin to change inside of you. But if he gives you the desire, and he doesn't say, now that you have a desire, good luck with that. How cruel would that be for God to give a desire to you to overcome sin but leave you powerless to do it? And that is why he gave his Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to overcome sin. And that power comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. So with our time today, I want to talk to you about how to overcome the flesh by the Holy Spirit. And this is by no means comprehensive, but I'm just looking at Romans 8, coming right out of Romans 7. And I'm going to show you several things Paul mentions that I think will help you. So let's jump into Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Where he says, remember, this is right out of saying, thanks be to God who will save me from this body of death. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. He's saying, listen, if you desire to do good, great. There's no condemnation. Now I'm going to show you how God will help you. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses, which was the law that was given in the Old Testament, was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. They kept giving into it. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. And he did this so that the just requirement or the righteous requirement of the law would be satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Holy Spirit or the Spirit. What he's saying here is, listen, here's the good news for you today is that sin has no control over you anymore. That Jesus paid for you to be freed from the power of sin. And when you follow the Holy Spirit's leading, he will give you the power to continue to overcome that sin. And it comes from this first thing. You need to realize and be reminded that you don't have to obey the flesh. There is a power of sin that leads to death, but the power of the Spirit is greater than that power. And you don't have to obey your flesh. I know that sounds simple, but here's the reality. When you were in the kingdom of darkness, there were laws of that kingdom, and you had to obey those laws. And so the power of sin or the law of sin ruled in your life. But when you get out of that kingdom and you get into the kingdom of God and you give your life to Jesus, that law and that power was broken over you. And there's a new set of laws and a new power that's made available to you to overcome the power of sin. You are not a slave to sin anymore. But there is a real enemy who will try to convince you that you are. And there is a real enemy who will remind you of what you have done and tell you you're still a slave to that. And it sounds something like this. Your mom was an addict. And you were an addict. And you'll always be an addict. And you cannot overcome this addiction. In fact, it feels good. So every once in a while, it's okay. Because you know really you can't do it anyway. This is what the voice sounds like. Your dad was stuck in pornography. You've been in pornography. This is a family thing. It's just a lot for your family. In fact, everybody does this anyway. It's very normal. In fact, you're weird and abnormal if you don't. So you think I've got to do this. I got to stay stuck in this. I'm trapped in this. Your dad always went off on you. And that's what you've been taught, so you're just going to go off on other people. It feels good to explode and express your emotions, doesn't it? Just do it. You can't overcome this anyway. This is the voice of the enemy that will try to convince you that you have no power to overcome that sin. I remember many times feeling trapped in sin. Like, there's no way out of this. But then I remembered the scripture says that no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful and always makes a way of escape. Always. And he also doesn't just make a way of escape. He gives you the power to actually say no to sin. And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Further down in Romans chapter 10, eight, verse 12, look at what Paul says. Dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You might just need to write that verse down and remember that verse. You have no obligation. You are not a slave to sin. Why? Because there is a higher power at work in your life. Sin is like the law of gravity. It will always pull you down. And that law is in effect. And this is why people get frustrated because they're like, oh, well, it's the law of gravity. I cannot overcome the law of gravity unless a higher law goes into play. Like if I get in an airplane and we take off, the law of aerodynamics will lift me above the law of gravity. And as long as I'm in that plane, there's a higher law and a higher power to where gravity has no effect on me. When you are in the Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit and the law of the Holy Spirit supersedes the law of gravity that continually pulls you down. And you need to realize this because if you don't first realize it, you'll believe you're stuck in it. I don't want you to be stuck in it. There's a law that supersedes that law that you can walk in. And when you are following the Spirit, you're no longer self-led. You're no longer self-propelled. You're propelled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will never lead you into bondage. He will never lead you into sin. He will always lead you into freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I just want you to remind you today, you have the power to say no. You need to recognize it. You need to internalize it. You may need to write it down on your mirror so you can remember every day, I have the power to say no. Okay, that's the first thing. I think we could just go home, but there's several more I want to share with you. Here's the second one. You got to think about what you're thinking about. Have you ever stopped and just thought about what you're thinking about? That's a scary thing to do. Just take inventory of what's running through your mind every day. All right, I'm going to keep going. Just look in the next verse, Romans 8:5. I'm just reading in Romans 8. We're continuing down. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Why are people so tormented today? It's because they're not thinking about what they're thinking about. They're letting the sinful desires of this world continually flood their mind. And when the scripture's telling us, when you find you've got a problem with your walk, you have to check your mind. When I find myself struggling, trapped in sin, I got to think about what am I thinking about? Because your life is moving in the direction of your thoughts. This is the reality. Whatever I think about will direct my feet. And here's the truth for us today is that you cannot have a spiritual life with a carnal mind. People go, I want to have a life that's led by the Spirit, but they don't change the way they think about anything. A carnal means fleshly. It means worldly, given to the desires of my flesh. It's like I can't be tuned into two radio stations at the same time. I've got to set the channel to one. I've got to decide what I'm going to listen to. I've got to decide what's going to fill my thoughts and tune to that. That's why the scripture constantly tells us, like Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, to set your mind on things above, not on things below. Fix your thoughts on things above. Philippians 4, 8 says, fix your thoughts on that what is pure and lovely and admirable and of good report. And is worthy of praise. Are you filtering your thoughts to say, what am I thinking of? Is this pure? Then I'll think about it. Is this lovely? Then I'll think. Is this worthy of praise? Is this on the spiritual things of God? Then I'll go ahead and think about it. But if it's not, you got to filter those things out. This is what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is talking about. This is one of the famous verses on this that we all like to read, but much harder to do. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, if we just follow the thinking patterns of the world, we'll end up in the same ditch as the world. But if we change our thinking patterns to think about the things above, to think about the scripture, to think about what God is thinking about, then our mind will be led by the Spirit. And how do we think about what God's thinking about? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what we said earlier in one of our messages, that he's the one who helps me to think as God thinks, desire what God desires, and to feel what God feels. So if you want to know what God's will is for you, you have to connect to the Holy Spirit who knows the will of God for your life and will lead you in that direction. And you will be discerning of where to go based on what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you when your mind is fixed on him. What I found is the more that I set my mind on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, I make spiritual decisions. I make wise decisions. Why? Because he's our helper. Remember, we talked about he was our paracletos, the one who comes alongside you to help you make judgment calls. When I'm thinking about the things of the Spirit, when I go into a situation, I'll hear, don't say that. Like earlier, when I was thinking about saying something, I was like, I'm just going to move on. It was the Holy Spirit saying, don't say that. It wasn't bad. It was just a side trail. Just don't go over there. Like, I need the Holy Spirit in every day of my life. I heard someone say, it was a little meme that said, do you need the Holy Spirit to be saved? And the second line said, honey, you need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. And listen, you definitely need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. But when I fix my thoughts on him, I'm going to be led by him. I'm going to know what he's trying to say. I'm going to know what he wants me to do. I have to filter my thoughts. Here's a practical thing you can do every day is you can just daily renew your mind by asking the Holy Spirit to give you the mind of Christ today. Holy Spirit, lead me today. Holy Spirit, help me to think as you think today. Help me today to know your will and to walk in it. That's just a daily simple prayer that you can pray to help renew your mind. And then I'm going to get to the third one. Here's the third one. So think about what you think about. Here's the third one. Feed your spirit and kill the flesh. Amen. If you want to walk with the Spirit, you've got to feed your spirit and you have to kill your flesh. I'm just reading in Romans 8. We read this one earlier. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. But look, if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Now, this is pretty strong language. Paul's saying, listen, the desires of the flesh will kill you if you don't kill them. Yeah. You've got to put them to death. It's very strong language because Paul knows the reality of this. Whatever you feed grows and whatever you starve dies. Whatever you feed is going to grow in your life, and whatever you starve in your life, that will die. It's true in nature. If you feed your grass or you feed plants at home, those will grow. If you starve them, they will die. That's why I buy fake plants, because I forget to feed them, water them, all those things, right? If I feed my body grows. If I don't feed my body dies. It's the same with your spirit, and it's the same with the flesh. If you feed the flesh, you will gain an appetite for the flesh. The more you feed the flesh, the more of the appetite you gain for the flesh, and you lose the desire for the spirit. But if you feed your spirit, the appetite for your spirit grows, and the desire for the flesh dies. You're literally starving it to death. But I meet so many people who are feeding themselves filth but expecting their faith to rise. I meet people who will tell me all the time, like, I just don't know why I don't have a pure thought life, but they're watching lustful images all the time. Like, I'm sorry to be so practical for you today, but it's really not that hard. If I'm going to feed my mind and my thoughts things, I have to expect that's going to come out. People will watch movies and listen to music full of foul language and wonder why they can't tame their tongue. I'm just saying, what are you putting in constantly to feed? It's affecting you more than you know. It's affecting you more than you will probably ever know. I remember in high school when we would go to youth camps and stuff like this, at the end of the youth camp, they would have this big service where everybody would bring the secular music that they were listening to, whether it be CDs or tapes. And I know some of you don't even know what those are today. But we would bring them and we would turn them in and it would be like, we're not going to listen to this anymore. And I never thought it was that big of a deal because I was listening to some secular music that was the radio edits. Yeah, I don't even know what the radio edits are, but they would take out the cuss words. So I was like, oh, it's taking out the cuss words. I'm still a good Christian boy. But all the songs, I listened to rap and R&B, okay? So all the songs were about girls and money. And I found myself one day going, why do I think about girls and money all the time? Like, it was the reality. I was like, why am I always thinking about how to get more money? Why am I always looking at all these girls? I was feeding myself the wrong things and starving the wrong things. And as soon as I cut that out, I'm telling you, my desires begin to change. My thoughts begin to change. Now I primarily just listen to worship music. And I'm not trying to say you can't listen to other things. I'm just saying whatever you primarily feed yourself, the appetite for that is going to grow. And then the desires for that is going to, and then your thought life is going to be directed in that area. Then your life is going to move in the direction of your thoughts. These all go together. We have to guard our eye gate and our ear gate. These are gates into your mind and into your heart. And I promise you, it will either affect or infect your mind and your heart. And it can affect it for positive or infect it for negative. And the reason I'm being strong about this is because the scripture doesn't tell us to suppress it. And it doesn't tell us to satisfy it. Because this is a lie of the enemy. Again, just suppress it a little bit. Just push it down. You can deal with it later. We'll kick this thing down the road. It always comes back stronger. Or the enemy will tell you, if you just satisfy, if you just do it, it'll go away. No, it will grow because you're feeding it. So you can't suppress it and you can't satisfy it. You have to kill it. This is what he's saying. Put it to death. And here is the beautiful and powerful thing that God has given us to do this. You kill the flesh by the word of God, and you feed your spirit by the word of God. It is simultaneously doing both things. When you get in the Word of God, it is killing your flesh and it is satisfying your spirit and it is feeding your spirit. Because when you get in the Word of God that's inspired by the Spirit of God, you see that it is our weapon and our food. It's our food. Jesus said he is the bread of life. He said that the words that I speak are spirit and life. So the more I'm getting the word of God, I am feeding the spirit of God in my life. And the things of God become so clear to me that it's easy to know what I got to cut out of my life. That's why the word of God is also our weapon. Ephesians chapter 6, 17, when you should look this up later, but when it's going, I'm talking about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith. There's no weapon of offense until you get to the sword of the Spirit, which says is the word of God. The word is a sword. It is a weapon, not against people. It's a weapon against the enemy. It's a weapon against the lies of the enemy. That's why Hebrews 4:12 also compares the word of God to a sword when it says that the word of God is alive and active and is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit. It goes on to say it divides the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it is like a sword that when you read it, it is cutting into you in a good way, and it is separating the soulish things of the flesh and the spiritual things of God and making it clear to you what areas of your life need to be cut out and what areas of your life you need to feed. And at that point, it's simply a matter of letting the surgeon do the work and saying, here you go. This is clearly the thing that needs to be taken out, so I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to put this to death. The scripture says you got to crucify the flesh. Galatians 5:24. That's what Paul said. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Let's stay close. If you're going to live by the Spirit, he's saying, be close to him. Wherever he goes, I'm going to go. Amen. Wherever he's leading, I'm going to lead. So I don't gratify the desires of the flesh because they will never lead me in the same direction. And what I found is that as I feed my spirit man gets larger and larger and my flesh gets smaller and smaller. Obviously, the word of God is one way you can feed your spirit, but another way you feed your spirit is what we talked about last week, praying in the spirit. You build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the spirit. When I pray in the spirit, my spirit man grows. And I'm telling you, the desires for the flesh die. His voice gets louder and temptation gets quieter. If you're struggling with temptation, cut the flesh out and listen to the voice of the spirit. I'm telling you, you cannot feed it and expect it to die. You have to starve it. Okay? All right, y'all ready for the last one? I'm just reading through the passage. Here's the fourth one. You have to remember who you are. Now, when I wrote that down in my notes, remember who you are, I could only hear Mufasa's voice. Remember who you are, Simba, right? I wish I had a voice like James Earl Jones. But he's saying, remember who you are. Now, I'm going to preach for a second out of The Lion King, one of the greatest movies of all time. No. But Simba did something he perceived was wrong. The enemy, Scar, convinced him to run away from his destiny. And he ran and hid because of something he had done until he saw his father to remember who he was and went back and took his rightful place. Now, I'm sharing that with you because look at the next verse in verse 14. I'm just reading through Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we're God's children. Why is this so important? If you believe you're a sinner, you will act like a sinner. And I hear people all the time, still today, go, well, I'm just a sinner, brother. I'm just a sinner. Quit saying that. You were a sinner. That's not who you are anymore. People go, well, I'm just trying to make it. Well, you're just going to keep trying to make it until you recognize the fact that I'm not a sinner. I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a child. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. This is a part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to remind us of who we are. And I find that so many people struggle with sin because they struggle with their identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are. They don't realize the position they have as a son or a daughter. So what happens is they still have a mentality of I'm a slave or I'm a sinner, so I'm going to try to do something right. So I work really hard to overcome the flesh. And when I realize I can't do it, I think God's mad at me because I broke his laws. So we have this view, dad's mad. I can't go around dad. So I got to go try to make it better. So we keep trying in our own ability. And we're doing things of the flesh with the flesh, expecting a spiritual result. And when we can't do it, we run away from God instead of running to him. And this is the power of what the Holy Spirit does for us, is he reminds us that you have a good father. And if you would just ask him for help, he'd help you. And I thought of this analogy years ago about this. It's like, if you have kids, you know that when you go tell them, hey, their room's a mess all the time, you got to tell them, you got to clean your room. And if I go to my kids and I say, hey, kids, listen, your room's a mess. I need you to clean this mess up. Many times they're like, oh, it's so much. There's no way. Look at all this stuff. There's no way we can get it done. And I'm like, you're right. Let's get rid of all this stuff. Let's just throw it all away. Parents, you're getting freedom right now. Well, they don't like that idea. They don't like that idea. But they're like, it's too much, Dad. And if they just try to do it, they're going to get frustrated and mad at me because they think I'm asking them to do something they can't do. But if they were just say, Dad, can you help us? And I get on the ground with them and I begin to clean it up with them and I begin to direct them and tell them, hey, why don't you put this over there? Here, I'll help you over here. Now they're not doing it out of fear. They're doing it out of joy that their dad's down here helping them. We're going to get it done. I know things are going to be okay. This is what God did for you when he sent his Holy Spirit. He didn't leave you here and say, good luck trying to clean up the mess of your life. No, he sent his Holy Spirit down to help you. If you would just ask for his help. And here's the thing, parents, you know, you're doing most of the work anyway. So is he. The Holy Spirit does most of the work for us anyway. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot clean up the mess of your life on your own. You cannot overcome sin by yourself. Listen, you are powerless in the natural, but you are powerful in the Spirit. You are powerless in your own ability. That's why he said, walk by the Spirit. He's the engine of the train. If you just connect to the engine, he does all the pulling. I'm just trying to help you see there is sin you will never overcome on your own. And if you're trapped in it today, you don't have to stay trapped in it. You need power. Why do you think Paul said in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do people get drunk? Because they want to feel powerful. People get drunk because they want courage. They get drunk because they want to feel something. People get drunk also to forget something. They get drunk to forget who they are. They get drunk to forget the mess of their life. They get drunk to try to escape the reality for just a moment. Why do you think Paul contrasts these two? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives you power. The Holy Spirit gives you courage. The Holy Spirit helps you to feel what God feels. The Holy Spirit doesn't help you to forget who you are. He reminds you of who you are. And he also reminds you that you don't have to escape reality. Reality can change because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to stay stuck anymore. And maybe I just came to encourage somebody today. I just know there are people who are stuck in the bondage of sin today. And I need to remind you, you don't have to give in to the desires of the flesh. If you need help, ask God for help. Be filled with his Holy Spirit. Watch what you're thinking about, and he will change your life. You are more than a conqueror through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Would you stand with me today at both locations? And I just want to go to the Lord in prayer, because I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to people today. If you came in here today and you feel trapped and you believe the lies of the enemy that I cannot overcome this, today you need to know you can and you will not stay stuck forever. You are not a slave. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, both locations. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me? God, you have the power to highlight areas of our life, God, that we felt bound in, we felt stuck in, we felt trapped in. Maybe the Holy Spirit's showing you an area today that you need to starve, that you've been feeding. Cut it out today. Just begin to starve it today. Maybe the Holy Spirit's revealing some thought patterns in your life that are unhealthy. And he's saying, you got to start thinking about this. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Or maybe today you realize, I don't have the desire to do good. And today you can give your life to Jesus. And he will change those desires in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you did not leave us here alone to clean up our lives, that the law of sin and death is broken over us. We thank you that the law of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit supersedes that law, that we can live a victorious life, that we're not going to live the rest of our earthly lives as sinners, but we can be transformed into your image through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for everybody today who desires to be out of the sin they're stuck in. I pray, God, today for freedom. I pray that every bondage would be broken in the name of Jesus. I pray for revelation, God, of the need for your Spirit daily to overcome sin, God. And I pray that we would walk in victory as an example to the world of the life-giving power of the Spirit of God living in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.